This morning in your Bible, Psalm 86. Psalm 86. We'll read from the opening verse, please. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me. The assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good. They which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope and hast helped me and comforted me. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks for this day, for the privilege of being in the house of God, for having the Scriptures open so that we can read and understand. We know there is a blessing for those that read the Word of God. Lord, we ask now for the help of the Spirit of the Lord to give us understanding. For we are very dull of hearing. We are certainly dull, Lord, in our comprehension. We're dull in understanding very often the things of God that lay right on the very surface of the Word. And I pray this morning that we will have help. Lord, I ask to fill me with the Spirit of God, enabling me to speak with the power of the Lord, and hide man behind the cross so that none would be seen save Jesus only. And dear Lord, I pray that everyone in our gathering, everyone who can hear the Word of God, would be able to hear with power, to hear with understanding. And Lord, conviction of sin would fall upon every one of us, those who are unbelievers, to their salvation, those of us who know the Lord, to our sanctification in repenting of our sin. Lord, bless us today, we pray. Forgive us for all our sin. Lord, come and cleanse us in the precious blood of our Redeemer. Help us to walk in the center of thy will. Help us to think in the right way, according to the Lord. So hear us now, we pray. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention today to verse 5 of this psalm. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Forgiveness is typically defined as the process concluding resentment, indignation, or anger as a result of a perceived offense, difference, or mistake, or the ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. The Oxford English Dictionary defines forgiveness as this way: to grant free pardon and to give up all claim on account of an offense or a debt. We all need forgiveness. We need to be forgiven and we need to forgive. I would say this is both obvious and obscure. Obvious to those we have offended and sinned against, they know that we need to be forgiven. But it's also obscure to ourselves, often because we seek to be justified in our own eyes. And when we offend, when we sin against others, we are not always so ready to seek forgiveness from them. You see, forgiveness in the unfallen state, in the pre-time of sin, it was not necessary. There was no need of forgiveness because there was no sin then. But man, in his fallen condition, needs to be forgiven. And you know, it is not unconditional. Philosophers have written about this, supposing that without some degree of forgiveness in human relationship, the quality of life would be diminished. Benjamin Franklin said, himself a self-claimed deist and also a Christian, and how you mix the two together, I'm not so sure, but he said this: doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenge makes you but even with him. Forgiving sets you above him. We know from the Scripture that the origin of forgiveness is from God and constitutes one of the greatest attributes of a loving and a merciful Creator. For Psalm 130 in verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." In Matthew chapter 18, Peter asked the Lord, "How many times should I forgive my brother? Until seven times?" Which he thought in his mind was quite a lot, actually. In fact, it's quite clear that Peter thought it was twice as much as was taught by the Jewish doctors even at that time. John Gill commented, citing two different Jewish theologians. The first one said this: "A man that commits a sin, the first time they pardon him, and the second time they pardon him, and the third time they pardon him, and the fourth time they do not pardon him." And he cites another doctor saying this: "He that says, 'I have sinned, and I repent,' they forgive him until three times and no more." So when Peter said to the Lord, "Shall I forgive my brother seven times?" he thought he was doing twice as much as what was required. The Lord said to him at that time, of course, 70 times seven that you are to forgive. And then the Lord launches into the story or the parable of the servant who owed the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. A great sum. A great sum in perspective, because the taxation that was put upon Judah in the Old Testament by a foreign king was some silver and one talent of gold for the whole nation. And yet here's a servant who owes his master 10,000 talents. I think the Lord was using hyperbole here, but it was a great amount the man could not pay back. And the king forgave him all. And that servant then went out to get hold of his servant who had owed him but a pittance, and he would take him to court, and he would send him to prison until he had paid all. You see, each of us here today who are saved by the grace of God stand in that man's place, really. We have been forgiven much. We have been forgiven more than we could ever pay. And I want to impress upon you this day from Psalm 86 and verse 5, and impress upon you, unbeliever, unsaved person, as well as those who are converted, the great debt that we owe unto God and His great mercy to us. For the Lord is a God of forgiveness. He is a God of great mercy, a God of great compassion. And the first thing I suggest to you today from this verse is that forgiveness is possible because of the goodness of God. Look at this verse with me. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive. The Lord is good, and it's because of the Lord's goodness, it provides a foundation that we can obtain His gracious forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary because the law has been breached. You have sinned against the Lord, and I have sinned against His righteous standard. And because we have broken and breached the law of God, the ship of our lives, it has been broken. And the water is flooding in. And the water of our sin is flooding into our ship, and we are sinking. And we have no bilge that is able to pump out the hold. And the more that we try to pump out the water, it is coming in faster and faster, because we in our unsaved state are sinning more and more. We are adding daily to our sin, and we cannot atone for it. And so we try to get rid of it, but more comes in. And friend, that may well be a picture of your life. Your ship is sinking. And all would be lost if God was not willing to bring us to dry dock. Bring us to the point where we can know His forgiveness. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. The Lord in Himself is good. You know, He is intrinsically good. God is good in and of Himself. There is no one else that adds goodness to Him. There is no one else that needs to proclaim Him good. He is intrinsically good in Himself. But He is also independently good. There is no outside goodness that can be added to Him to improve, or no way that that can be taken away from Him. But He is also indiscriminately good to all His creation. The evidence of the goodness of the Lord, it is seen so clearly in nature if you will stop and observe. Stop and see what God has done in the world in which we are living in. Stop and consider, my friend, for a moment, the provision of God in nature. He provides for us day by day your daily food, your daily oxygen in which enables you to live, your daily beating of the heart, the daily provision that God grants to us is evidence of His goodness to you. Friend, can you cite it today? Can you cite even from this very morning the hand of God's goodness in your life. And you may say, well, I have many problems. I have many concerns. I have many trials. Friend, apart from all those things, acknowledge today the goodness of God in providing for you. But God's goodness is seen in nature in the very beauty of the creation that He has made. The intricacies of the flower, the magnificence of the mountains, the beauty of God, it speaks to us of His kindness and His goodness in creation. And then you think about the order of creation, how everything works properly and perfectly. The earth is not fast in its rotation, neither is it slow. It is on time. And because God keeps order in His universe, He keeps things all running smoothly so that we have seed time and we have harvest. We have the rainy seasons. We have the time of the bounty being brought in. All of these things speak of the Lord's goodness to us. Ah, but there is the precious revelation that He has made of Himself in the Word of God to us. Because, friend, if the Lord had not given us His Scripture, if we did not have His Bible, His Word, then we would not know anything about Him apart from the revelation in nature. But He has given to us His Word. He has revealed to us this very verse of Scripture that we can read today and have in our own hand. The Lord is good. Have you tasted of the goodness of God? Have you experienced His goodness revealed through the Word of the Lord? It is this quality of goodness that undergirds the very thing I'm talking to you about this morning, the forgiveness that God so graciously gives. Think not only about the goodness of God, but consider the readiness of the Lord to forgive. Come back to our verse. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. John Calvin, the commentator, he translated this phrase, For Thou, O Lord, art good and propitious. And another commentator rendered it, The Lord is good and a pardoner. The translation propitious is a good one because it ascribes to the Lord the attribute of pardoning sin. But there is much more here than that contained in it. It is His willingness, His readiness to forgive. It is not that God is holding us away and holding back. The Lord is willing and ready to forgive us. Calvin went on to say, It were not enough for God to be good in general. Did He not also extend to sinners His forgiving mercy? Now, our translators in the Authorized Version have taken this one Hebrew word, and it only appears here actually one time in the whole of the Old Testament, though its root word, which means to forgive or to pardon, it is repeated many times, but this is an adjective here we have in Psalm 86, verse 5, only appears once in this form. And our translators have tried to give the full flavor of its meaning, the full import of that word, that one Hebrew word, and they translated it ready to forgive. Oh, that's a good translation. That is a good way of expressing the propitious nature of our God. He is ready. He is willing to forgive. Sinner, you're here today and you have never asked the Lord into your life. You have never repented of your sin. You have never acknowledged God. This is a good word for you this morning. For the God who has created you is the God who stands this morning ready to forgive you. Is there anything more that you could ask for so clearly seen in that story of the father who was waiting for the prodigal son to return home. He was watching. He was waiting. And as the son drew near, he knew as soon as he began to speak to his father that he was willing to forgive. He was ready to receive him. So there is the forgiveness of the Lord. He is ready to forgive us. It is a real thing that he is doing, but it also there is more, because he has also prepared the redemptive work of God, all part of his willingness to forgive, of the possibility that you and I have to be cleansed and forgiven. The Lord has put this readiness into action, for he's not just waiting, but he is actively inviting. He is commanding sinners everywhere to repent. That was the very first message that Jesus Christ spoke as he began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that repentance was preached because God was ready and willing to forgive. You see, in order for God to be able to forgive sin, he has seen that all the work has been done. There is nothing more that a man has to do in order to merit God's forgiveness, in order to merit God's salvation. Nothing more. It has all been completed. The redemptive work, the plan of God in salvation, that work has been done. You see, it is impossible for man to save himself. He's been overcome by his own sin. And yet God, in his great grace and willingness to forgive, has made a way. He has sent his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. What we could not do in making atonement for our own sin, the Lord Jesus has done by giving himself on the cross to die in our place and for our sin. All the goodness and the grace of God to the undeserving. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is, my friend, today the great readiness of God. Salvation. Forgiveness, it is possible for you today. But let's move on, because not only is it possible, forgiveness is plenteous. God is not stingy. He is not limited. For our verse tells us, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all." Plenteous in mercy unto all. Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat." The Lord invites us to receive the gracious gift when we have nothing to pay. Our pockets are empty. The pockets of the wealth that we have trying to pay the Lord, it is an insult unto him, because all of our wealth to pay is contaminated. All of our righteous things are as filthy in the eyes of a holy God. But friend, there is no limit to the power of Christ's atoning blood. His perfect sacrifice, it could have atoned for 10,000 worlds. He is not limited, and the blood of Christ is not limited. There is no limit to the atoning power of our Lord Jesus. And friend, today, this message includes you. There is forgiveness of the Lord and with the Lord. But you may say, "I have this morning no right to this claim." You may think in your mind, "I am unchurched. I've not been brought up in a Christian home or a Christian environment. I don't know anything about the Bible. I know nothing about God. I know nothing about Christ. I know nothing about what you're talking about today. Other than this, inside my soul, there is a longing for something more, and I cannot explain it. There is a longing that I must be right with a deity, with a God who has created, whom I do not know. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I have done so many wicked things that God would not accept me. I am not worthy. I don't believe that God can or would forgive me. So what have we got here, friend? We have unchurched people, we have unchristian people, and we have unworthy people. And you know, into that category, the hymn writer wrote these words, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. God's forgiveness is this morning plenteous. It is unto all, and you come under that category. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only is salvation and forgiveness possible, it is plenteous, but my friend, it is personal. It is for you this day. Look at our verse. Unto all them that call. All them that call upon the Lord. Turn your eyes over to the 15th verse of Psalm 86. Look what it says. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. This full forgiveness that God offers, it is for everyone that will call upon the Lord. You must ask Him to forgive your sin. It's not enough for you to say, well, my parents are believers, and I have asked. No, my friend, if you're a young person here today, it's not enough for you to say, well, my mom and dad are Christians, and that's good enough for me. It's not good enough for you. Child, young one, you must come and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Because this is a very personal message that comes to us. You must ask Him to forgive your own sin, and you will find that the Lord is more ready to forgive than you are even to ask. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great redemption. He has paid the price of my sin. He has given that which I could not give. He has done what I could never do, and He has made salvation possible for me so that I individually must come to God. And friend, you cannot come to God on account of another person. I mean, a mother or father cannot believe for their children. A sister cannot believe for a brother. A husband cannot believe for a wife. No, you must come yourself. You must come as an individual, and you must bow in your heart and call out to God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And when the Lord hears that prayer, and when He hears that call that you make to Him this day, you will know that He will hear you, and He will forgive you. And you say, well, again, I don't know enough about the gospel message. I'm so ignorant about the whole Bible. What does it all mean? Friend, listen. Cast yourself upon the Lord. Call upon Him for salvation and say, Lord, make yourself known unto me from the Bible. I was speaking to a man just this past week. He was not a believer in the Lord. He termed himself as really an agnostic man. He did not know if there was a God. I challenged him and said, but you live as if there is no God, so really you are a practical atheist. You live your life in such a manner. And he reasoned out many things to do with human behavior, human philosophies, and so on, and had everything pretty well worked out until it comes down to this question: what is the meaning and the purpose of life? Why are you here? What is your end? When you come to die and you go down to the grave, are you going to die as a dog? Are you just going to go to the ground and there is nothing more? Inside your heart, the heart of man, there is a longing for an understanding of what lies beyond the grave, because there must be purpose to living. Or what is all this all about? And it was those questions that he did not have answers for. And I challenged him and said, if you want to know this God that I am telling you about, he will reveal himself to you through the Scripture. But I said, you must in sincerity and come with an earnestness saying, God, if there be a God, reveal yourself to me and read the Scripture. And I challenged him, and I challenge you today with the same thing, friend. If you don't know and you're uncertain and you want some clarification and you say, I need to have the Lord make himself known, if you're earnest in that, you come to the Scripture and you pray that prayer and the Lord will make himself known unto you. But if you think you're self-righteous and you think you have all the ducks lined up and you think you have all the answers, then you will pray such a prayer in vain. Because until you come to realize, I don't have all the answers, and there is something inside that I have need of, you will come to the God of the Bible, and you will come to realize that he is a merciful, a compassionate, and a forgiving God. And when you come to him, you will find that he is with arms open, ready to forgive you. Friend, come this day, call upon the Lord, and you will find that he will save you from your sin. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that this word today would be fastened to every soul. I pray that as there are unbelievers both here and hearing this word, that they would call upon the Lord this morning. Our Father, for those of us who are true believers, how thankful I am today that not only have we been forgiven when we first called upon thee, but Lord, we continue to be forgiven each day as we seek God and as we seek for that forgiveness. Lord, have mercy upon us now this morning. Continue to bless us, be with us as we meet around the table of the Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.